Final segment of In Focus here on News Radio KMAN on a Tuesday morning. Again, a reminder, City Commission has their meeting tonight at 7 o'clock in City Hall. A number of ways you can be a part of that. You can go attend in person. You can also tune in online at cityofmhk.com/TV or on your TV set if you have Cox Cable, Channel 3. That's where the meetings are broadcast on Tuesday nights. Again, we're talking with our City Manager Ron Fear and Commissioner Mark Hattasall here this morning. And I'm going to go through the consent agenda next. There's a few different items on there.
There are. We've got the commission to ratify our tip note bid sale that we did. We're getting ready to issue about $17.74 million in temporary notes. That was bid opening occurred last Thursday. We did have three bidders, and the winning interest rate is 1.84%. That is about doubled what we had in November. It was interesting. The market's kind of made a big push the last couple of weeks, so interest rates are starting to go back up in all areas. I think the other factor is it's the bond buyer index was at 2.32%, so we outperformed that, and so that's a positive for us. Again, these temporary notes are construction financing for various projects, and then we usually have those in place for about 3.5 to 4 years, and then we either pay those notes off, depending on what the particular project and source of revenue is, or we issue permanent bonding for those particular aspects. We also have that awarding that contract that I mentioned earlier. This is to T&M Construction for $703,286. The bulk of that is for street maintenance and repair work in that Stag Hill area. Again, Allison Avenue is one of the street improvements that's scheduled to occur, as well as some of the other areas in that particular section of the community, along with those sidewalks we talked about are a very small part of that particular contract. There are street, stormwater, and pedestrian improvements all associated with those various projects. And then a significant item we have on the agenda is for the commission to consider approving a purchase of additional land for our biosolids expansion. So there's about 190 acres, most of which we currently farm and have some of our biosolids farm infrastructure already on this. We've been leasing this land for 25 years, and we've had a first right of refusal on this particular tract, and we didn't anticipate that it was going to come up for sale, but it has. And so with our positioning of first right of refusal, it's one of those tracts that we count on to utilize for our biosolids farm management program. And again, we've invested in our underground infrastructure to inject the material, and so it's pretty important that we exercise our first right of refusal on this particular property, and that's it's about $1.45 million for this particular tract, and that's really critical to our existing operations. We had done some expansion the last couple years in that particular area to grow to new areas, and so this wasn't one where we were necessarily anticipating that we would need to purchase, because we have had a long-term lease relationship, but we wanted to make sure that we exercise this option to own the land outright. So that's the item before the commission on this particular item.
As the community continues to grow, there's going to be more demand on our sanitary sewer system. And as the EPA and KDHE sort of tighten what you can dump into the river, that's only going to create more of those biosolids that we've got to find a place to put them. And this is contiguous to the current land that we already have out there. And so it's one of those things, it's another kind of necessary evil to keep the basic purposes of government moving forward.
And just some background on that particular operation. So we are aerobic. A treatment system that produces these biosolids, which is mostly a liquid, but we have made some improvements to increase the amount of solids. It gets pumped over or under the river and to a lagoon system, and then we utilize the liquids out of that lagoon system as essentially as a fertilizer for the farming operation in that bottom land. And so that supports the crop take-up of the nutrients. Our effluent is a very high quality as far as safe is concerned. It used to be we had to inject it into the soil, but now we can actually spread it on top. It's that good of quality. So we've made improvements over the years to that fact, and having a relationship with various farmers to be able to utilize that, that they basically get free fertilizer for the crop, and then we share some of the crop proceeds. It's a significant operation, not one that you typically hear about a city using, but it is something that's made the decision to create this type of biological system for treatment, and it's worked out very well.
I'm not sure if it's one of the things we want to advertise on the city website about how awesome our effluent is from the sanitary sewer system, but it is a good thing anyway.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's certainly interesting. And neat that the land has come up and able to get into the city's hands here. As far as, is that everything on the consent agenda?
That is, right. I think, worthy of noting, yes.
Okay. Well, and I know last week you guys had the discussion on the annexation study that was kind of shot down here by the City Commission. And I guess maybe not too surprising here, given what was said here last week. But, Mark, you want to kind of talk a little bit about your decision on that?
Well, it's one of those things where especially with the housing, the people out there who live in the Blue Valley area out there, they chose that they didn't want to live in Manhattan, and so trying to annex a bunch of people that don't want to be annexed is not very palatable to most of the commission right now. The problem is we just don't have any commercial industrial land really that's handy in the city limits right now, and as we go farther east, there becomes some land that could be used for that purpose, and so that's my main interest in anything out there is figuring out some place that we could put some commercial buildings, some industrial use type of facilities. And until we come up with some place that's more in Riley County somewhere, which I don't know where that is, we need to keep an eye on that area out there. But you don't want to do it, even if it's a significant industrial park type facility. We're still going to need a lot of the things like fire service and police protection and stuff. And so it really becomes a matter of the project is going to have to be worth it, so to speak, to make us make that investment of all those other city services that would be required out there. But I'm not sure what our other options might be going forward with a place to put commercial businesses in the near area of the city.
I would just add, you know, this was, I think, a very, very good study. It took longer. Actually, we started it back late 2018 and was underway in 19, and then COVID hit in 20. So it really kind of brought things to a halt. But it did really create a lot of very good information. I mean, it's got some fairly basic assumptions in it for how that might proceed with the various services, but it puts a cost analysis to it, and really it's a physical or a financial cost benefit analysis of the area, and really analyzes what's there, what could be there in the future, what have been the trends. The city has made millions of dollars in improvements in that area and helped allow the growth to occur by providing the sanitary sewer service as well as the primary water service. We have the heritage areas already in the city out there, so we're providing, and it's an example to show how the densities can be achieved with development, with city services that have adequate pipe sizes and fire flows and those kind of services, as opposed to the rest of that commercial corridor along Highway 24 is primarily serviced by a 2-inch plastic service line. That's a rural water line, and it's not something that would provide fire flow protection, and so that's why you haven't seen a lot of density that's developed along there. So there's a lot of potential future issues of how that might redevelop and or redevelop in that particular area, and it's something that's going to be dependent on, and that's kind of what I heard the commissioners say, is that they're not interested right now, but if there are developers or others who may want to utilize city services and assist with that level of infrastructure investment, we might very well be interested.
Well, I remember it was brought up by at some point that area is probably going to need a water tower. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, it already has a water tower. Okay. You know, the Rural Water District put a new water tower in a couple of years ago, we convinced them to put in, and we manage that tower for them. It's a 1 million gallon tower tank, and originally they were going to build 250,000, and we said with the growth that's occurring, it'd be nice to upsize this. Plus, if we ever have a big fire in the city, we can actually pull from it as well and bring water back into the city if need be. So we're already managing their water. We're managing their sewer. We're just not doing it directly. We do have a few direct customers that we are servicing that are our customers. And then certainly the Heritage area is one where all of that's in the city. So I think it created a great framework for being able to analyze things in the future. The next stage was if there was interest in a particular area, it created some different analysis zones, would be to do a statutory services plan. So you have to go in and here are the services, and we would take a deeper examination of the size and conditions of some of the infrastructure there. And then are we going to accept that as it is, or are we going to require that to be brought up to city standards, and what's that cost, and then what's the plan to do it? So once you annex something with a services plan, you have to complete that plan. And if you don't, you have to de-annex the area. So it's a pretty critical piece of equipment. What I heard the commission say, we're not really ready to proceed in that direction yet.
All right. Well, it's about the end of our show here. So we, again, encourage people to tune into the night's city commission meeting. It's at 7 o'clock at City Hall, cityofmhk.com/TV, and Cox Cable Channel 3 is where you can view it. Mark, thanks for being here. We'll look forward to talking to you down the road.
Thank you, Brandon.
Ron, good to talk to you as always.
Thanks a lot, Brandon.
Coming up tomorrow on the show, we've got USD 383 officials. Eric Reed and Daryl Eady will be joining us here tomorrow morning, as well as members of the Flint Hills Veterans Coalition.
Did Commissioner Hattisall say on the air today that it is his 30th wedding anniversary?
No, but I meant to. And love you, honey. Appreciate the 30 years we've been together.
Congratulations.
Yeah.